Before we get into the episode, I want to put out a trigger warning that this episode touches on violence. If you're not comfortable listening to that, that's fine. You don't have to. Hey, welcome back to It's Pretty Personal, a podcast all about sharing South Asian stories. I hope you guys are okay. I feel like the last week has been really heavy, especially with everything going on with women's safety and the news of Sarah Everand, a 33-year-old female who disappeared when she was walking home in South London and was kidnapped and murdered by a male police officer. The news of her disappearance and murder has opened up the conversation on women's safety and the fact that a lot of us don't feel safe when we're walking home at night, even though we've taken a massive list of precautions that we're, in quotation marks, supposed to. Statistics show that 51% of the UK population is female. And among all females, 80% have experienced sexual harassment. And I'm sure some of you guys listening have experienced it too. The fact is, we have to modify our behaviour and basically have to tick off a to-do list of things to ensure our safety. We've been told to wear modest clothes, to text when we get home, to share our location with friends and family when we enter a taxi or a bus, to not wear heels, to not wear headphones, to take main roads even though it extends our route. We've been told not to stay out too late, to constantly look over our shoulder. And I feel like most of us have felt this, but that constant fear and anxiety when you see someone walking way too close to you in the dark. Sometimes we don't realize it because it's become so normalized. And that was the case for me until people were having that wider conversation about it. And I realized that as females, we all go through this. It shows how women's safety is still an issue that people have not been taking seriously. Today, I'm sharing KJ's story. Not to scare people, but to highlight that this issue is still prevalent today. And I want to celebrate how amazing she is in her journey of overcoming trauma from a violent attack. In June 2019, KJ was walking home at night when she was randomly attacked and stabbed in the leg. Since then, she's been on a journey of recovery, transforming her trauma and helping other people do the same through her Instagram page, Transforming Trauma. I've linked KJ's Instagram down below if you want to check it out. And honestly, it's such an awesome page and I love her courage for starting it. Remember, if you're new, then don't forget to follow this podcast and leave it a 5-star review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to follow my social media as well, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Pretty Personal. I really hope you find this episode as informative and inspiring as I do. Enjoy! Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of It's Pretty Personal. I have a really special guest today. She's my friend. Her name is KJ and she's a graduate from Loughborough University who's working in London as a consultant. KJ actually went through a really traumatic event last June and through her recovery created a social media platform called Transforming Trauma, which is something that I will leave in the episode description below. So be sure to follow her. The Instagram page is a way for her to document her journey and also share her experience and aid others in their trauma. So KJ, hello.
Hi, Preeti.
How are you doing today?
I'm not bad, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I was just saying to you, I just came back from a run, so I'm a little sweaty, but I'm good. So today's episode is a lot about trauma and KJ's story, which we're going to get into in a second. But the one thing that I think will be really nice for people listening is to get to know you a little bit better. So I've got 5 questions I'm going to ask you.
Okay, sounds good.
The first question is, what is one thing that you've learned in 2020?
Oh, okay. I think I've learned most to take rests. You see everyone being really busy, being out there on social media, kind of keeping busy and stuff, but it's probably not the whole story, you know? Like, you need to take rest for yourself and have those days of self-care and put yourself first, like have like a movie day or something like that. So don't tire yourself out.
That's so true. The next one is, what makes you happy?
Do we want to go deep here or just like a... I quite like helping people, you know, like that makes me feel good and happy. Like I've always done volunteering or at uni, we had this thing called Action, which was kind of, I guess, volunteering projects. Like I'd help out a soup kitchen every now and then or help like old people with IT, random things like that. It just makes you feel good, you know?
Yeah. You were actually really into that uni, weren't you? Like the Action stuff.
Yeah, it was quite good. And you met a lot of people as well, other students around campus and just kind of help the community whilst you're there. It keeps you busy.
Yeah. The next one is, what is one thing that you're grateful for today?
Today, my eyebrow threading lady, I am grateful for today. Because They opened up. I mean, there was a delay and they've just opened up, I think, last Saturday. But I just thought, you know, give it a week, give them some practice. They haven't been threading people's eyebrows for like 6 months. So finally did that today. And I'm grateful for that. It's been 6 months. Needed.
Honestly, I feel your pain because I felt like I was getting a unibrow and I was like, I was trying to do it myself for a bit. So I was like, if I don't, I'm honestly going to have like one massive caterpillar on my face.
No, it's been a long time, but yeah, worth the wait.
Exactly. Okay, the next one is, what made you want to move out for uni?
I think I always kind of had the idea with uni that you move out. I think just growing up, I was just like, it was never really a question of would I kind of commute from home or go somewhere local. It was just, I wasn't too sure with the whole applying to uni just in terms of courses. Like I changed my mind literally so many times, applied for 5 different courses on UCAS. Like I had no clue what I was doing. I just applied to unis that were completely all over the country. So it was kind of a weird journey to get to Loughborough. Like I went through clearing and kind of ended up there, but literally wouldn't change it for the world.
And the final question was, sticking with the school theme, it's like, did you have a favorite subject at school?
Oh, probably till like year 11, maybe maths. Then it was a different story. Sixth form wasn't that great. But up till then, I was quite like a maths person.
Was it A-level maths or like that?
That was a big jump and I was not prepared. So then probably business, which I kind of have gone into now.
Do you know what? I thought I was really good in maths until I did A-level maths.
Maybe and it's like the Asian in us. Like you just get brought up being like, you need to know all your mental maths, be on it. You know it all. But then no one prepares you for that jump from year 11 to A-level and you're just like, I don't know what to do now.
Oh God, yeah.
And I just gave up, completely gave up.
Same. I relate to you on that. Okay, so now that everyone knows a little bit more about you, I think we should actually tell people about your story and what happened that night.
Yeah, sure. So this was final year of uni. I think I just finished exams on the Thursday. So like finished my whole degree. Last exam done. And then it's just like sense of freedom, I guess. On the Saturday, I had like an awards night on campus. So we were all there. And then a few of us were kind of like, oh, should we go to town to like a club after? And I was a bit umming and ahhing, but I was just like, oh, I might as well. Like I've only got 2 weeks left in Loughborough. And if you don't like it, just come back home. Like it's not that deep, you know? So then we ended up going to town probably around like midnight-ish, maybe. Kind of after a while, I was just kind of bored. I was tired. I'd been out the night before and didn't really sleep that much. So I just wanted to go home, really. And then maybe around like 2, 3, just decided to go home. And then while I was walking home, it was about like 10-minute walk. You know Loughborough, it's quite a small town.
Yeah, it's a very small town.
We kind of take that for granted, I guess. You just think like, oh, I don't need to get a taxi or anything. Like, I can just quickly walk 5, 10 minutes, it's fine. And like so many of us have done that so many times. And so you don't really think about it. So then as I was just walking home, all of a sudden walked down like one of the roads, like right before I was going home, and then realized like someone else was on the road. I just personally don't like when someone's like kind of walking on the same side of the road, like especially at night. I just crossed over, just heard some kind of like noises and stuff. Yeah. Someone like jumped behind me, grabbed me in a way, I guess. And like, ended up getting stabbed in my like thigh 3 times, which I didn't really know at the time. I think it was just all a bit of a shock and all kind of in the moment. Ended up kind of running, getting help. Luckily, there were a few students kind of at the end of the road and they ended up like calling an ambulance and police and all of that. And then it was all just, I don't know, it didn't really feel real, I guess, at the time. And it still didn't, in the ambulance and getting taken to hospital. From then on, it was kind of just contacting like friends, family, and it started, I guess, the recovery. So it was quite a quick event, but it did have like a big impact and it kind of changed everything, like how I view things now, I guess. And it changes your perspective on life, really, because probably less than a minute of your life can change it all. So it definitely makes you not take anything for granted.
Yeah, I think that is so true because Loughborough is such a tight-knit town and obviously people that have been to Loughborough say in Loughborough, you realise that it's mostly student run. So how did it feel when people started finding out, oh, this was you, that this stabbing happened to?
Yeah, it was a weird one, I think, because obviously it was so sudden, like probably what, like 12 hours later, I was starting to get like messages just because like it is a small town. People start saying, oh, it's someone called KJ and like friends contact you and stuff, just make sure it's not you. And in this case, it was. it was definitely weird, but I think I didn't really have an impact or like feelings towards it just because I was so wrapped in probably a state of shock still. It probably still hadn't even sunken in that it was me. So it's kind of like a weird state at that time and it didn't really feel real. I guess that night the police put out a statement. So a lot of people sharing it on social media and things. So it was just kind of a case of like, I just kept ringing the ones that I'd called and were in the hospital with me, you know, and my close little circle. And so like everyone around me had kind of heard from me. And then I guess it just kind of started to go around, which was fine. Like it's going to happen. It's a small town. In a small town like that, an event of that kind of size would obviously be like the talk of it. Yeah. So I wasn't too bothered. It was just like, oh, okay. If someone asked, like, we're not going to lie and be like, oh no, it's not her. Like I was happy to be straight up. But obviously at the time, my feelings still hadn't even sunken in. So it was a weird time right at the start.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot, especially like you've just gone through something so traumatic, you're still in shock. And then all of a sudden it's on social media. Obviously, we know social media, there are obviously trolls and people who love spreading fake news and acting like they were on the scene at the time.
So weird.
How did you deal with like the fake news that was like spreading?
It was weird. It does make you feel a little bit weird knowing that people are talking about something. Obviously, they probably wouldn't know you personally, so you can't really take it personally in my eyes, but it is obviously weird to hear people talking about an event that happened to you. And even if it's like something that didn't happen, you're just like, where does it even come from? Like, who comes up with this? But I was lucky that my circle, my friends, they were happy to kind of shut it down and got quite protective over it, which I was grateful for because in my eyes, I was just like, it is what it is. We know what's happened and that's the main thing.
But how were your friends? Like when you told your friends that this incident happened, how did they react?
I mean, it's probably the same as me. It was just a bit of like disbelief and shock at first, I think. Just even like ringing my closest ones and my flatmates and stuff at the time. You just can't believe something like that happens, you know, like you see it on the news and in some way we kind of have a level of ignorance towards it because you see it so much on the news that you kind of just ignore it or it's just the norm. Whereas like now when it happened to someone you know and happening to me, you kind of just like, whoa, like you really don't think about anything to do with it and the impact of it. So I think it was all just kind of a state of shock, you know. Yeah, we were all just there like, this cannot be real. And you kind of have to take it step by step because obviously it was the unknown, right? Like none of us had been through that. We didn't know really anyone who'd gone through that before. And we were all just like uni students there in a little bubble, like in the hospital. And even afterwards telling friends, like either a month after or kind of a year after, a lot of people I know have found out that it was me. They may have known about the event, but not who it was. So it still carries on now, I think. It's just an initial, I guess, shock of people. But I mean, my closest ones, I'm so grateful that they completely had my back and have really been there.
I was going to say, I do understand what you say in terms of like, when you hear it on the news a lot, you do become a little bit desensitized to it. And you're like, oh, this happened. But I guess you're really true in the sense that when it's someone close to home or someone that you even know.
Yeah. Because you can put a face to it and then it makes it different, I think. What it was even from talking to friends maybe a week after and, you know, there's like end of uni events and they just briefly mentioned, oh yeah, people were talking about it at this event and it makes you feel a little bit weird. But at the same time, like you have to take it with a pinch of salt like that. But then I think when they know the person or they can put a face to it, it just makes it a bit more personal. But I think in our friend group, like we're just quite open with it, you know, even if other people were kind of feeling some types of ways, we all just stayed open with everything and communicated throughout the whole past year. And it's definitely made you close. It makes you feel like that's family now, you know, like you've been through something like that and like these people have been there for you, like that's family.
I wanted to ask, how was rehab after you obviously went to the hospital, had to get stitches, I'm assuming?
Yeah. So it was like 3 wounds on my thigh. So it was pretty deep. And yeah, it was quite close, I guess, to the artery, one of them. So when you learn that, it's a bit scary to kind of know. And I think it didn't really hit me because obviously you're on painkillers and all of that. But it was hard straight away just to like walk properly. It was more just kind of limping and it was a real struggle. Like I'd never had stitches before, so I didn't really know what that felt like either. It just felt like your leg was super heavy. Like even if I had to lie down and rest, and obviously like it gets swollen and bruised. it was just like I had to even lift my own leg up with my arms or get someone else to lift my leg up, which is just crazy because it's like less than a minute of your life can change it like that drastically. I guess like I lost a lot of blood as well with it all, which was probably the bigger focus than kind of my leg. Like I was quite lucky that I could still walk and like still have both legs working and all of that. So in that sense, I was just happy that I could walk still and you couldn't really tell. Like I still went to my graduation day 5 weeks after and no one could really tell who didn't know about the situation. So from that perspective, it was fine. And it was more just kind of my energy. Because even, I guess, the day after my graduation, I had to stay in bed most of the day because I was just so tired. I felt like I'd pass out if I was standing up, which you really just don't think about when you kind of hear these stories, you know. Probably 3 months after, in September time, I started going back to the gym, started thinking, okay, let me just try get strength back in my leg. Because sometimes if I'd wake up, like if you don't sleep that well, my leg would just give way, you know, like I couldn't really walk. And because I was starting my grad job by the end of the year. So that was kind of a goal for me to really be able to do like an hour commute. And you probably won't get a seat on the train. So I was like, I need to be able to stand for an hour. That was kind of a goal for me. Like it's crazy to think this time last year, I probably couldn't walk that well. Whereas now I'm completely fine. Obviously, I've lost a lot of muscle in it, but there was a lot of nerve damage as well on part of my leg. And then the physio didn't really know if that would come back, but it's pretty much all gone now. So from my point of view, I just feel very grateful and very lucky to be in the position that I can kind of recover from it physically.
Like, I feel like when you're saying that, I was like, damn, I really take my legs for granted.
No, I did.
Yeah, because like you're saying that and I was like, wow, like I never think about it. Like, you know, when you're walking or you're walking like down the stairs or you're walking to the shops, like you're just like, oh, my legs will just carry themselves.
Yeah, you just assume it, you know. And even I was such like a busybody at uni, like I would literally walk around campus the whole day, like I'd walk to the library, walk somewhere else. And like, you don't think about it. You just think like, you kind of assume, okay, cool. Like, I'm just going to walk here, walk here. Then when this happened, I just completely had to stay in bed for like a month, could not move, was catching up on all like childhood movies. Like I haven't watched like Disney films and all of that. You really just sit there and you're like, I take it for granted, you know, being able to walk properly. And I can't even imagine like having to do that for longer than I had to. And it really does make you appreciate the small things that we kind of just forget about every day.
Yeah. How did it feel then when you couldn't walk or you had to just stay in bed all the time?
Yeah, I think at the start, it probably didn't hit me like the actual impact of it, because I think such a big event to your body, like it's such a big shock for your body, it affects your whole body. So it was just like you'd wake up in pain. If you forget to take painkillers, man, my head would ache, my whole body would. And you don't want to be there, you know, you're just like, why is this happening? I literally cannot believe this is all happening. But I guess it was a good way in a sense. It took my mind off like maybe the mental impact of it all at the start, because I had to focus on my physical impact. And being such like an independent person, then having to kind of depend on everyone, you know, like having to ask someone, can you go and get me a glass of water or something like that? Like, I hate that just as a person. Like, I love to do everything for myself.
Same.
So it was such a kind of bring you back down to basics, you know, and you kind of feel like, even having to train myself up to like walk again and strengthen my leg at the gym felt like, I don't know, like you wouldn't have had to do that since you were like a toddler, like learn to walk. And it is frustrating, but you have to remind yourself it's part of the process. You can't change what happened. So you just have to deal with the situation you've got right now and make the most of it and the best out of it.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, not gonna lie, I don't remember learning how to walk.
No, exactly. Like you just do it. I thought about it at the gym one day. I sometimes would get so frustrated there when I just couldn't do it, or like your leg would just ache and you're just like, I haven't probably had to do this for as long as I could remember. And I'm just like, how now at like the age of 22, 23, do I have to like basically learn to walk again?
Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day and I was like, I don't remember anything from like before 5 years old.
Yeah, really before struggled. Like nursery, primary school.
It's so weird, isn't it? So I know we spoke a little bit about the physical impact of it. How was your mental health after the attack? Because obviously it was a random attack.
It's quite like an up and down thing. I think obviously like how I see the actual event, which maybe has helped in terms of mental health, is just been like it was random, you know, like I didn't know the person. It was just kind of like wrong place, wrong time. And it's not like I have to be in that location again. Like I finished uni and it wasn't the worst kind of physical impact, because I feel like if certain circumstances were different, obviously may have kind of a bigger impact. But I think short term, the first couple of weeks to a month, it was just kind of when it got to nighttime and stuff, you know, that's when it happened. So for me, it was kind of in a way a trigger, because it was a similar situation. Even if I wasn't out and about in the evening, even when it got dark, you feel a bit scared inside or have nightmares about it. So I was very conscious, I think, in the first couple of months to kind of not think about it when I'm going to bed, watch something else, like distract myself, think of positive things. I'm quite lucky that like I literally didn't have any nightmares, you know, like I don't know, maybe I was overthinking it, but I just kind of consciously put things in place so I didn't have to get to certain situations that I thought may have happened. Then I think I had graduation probably like a month, 5 weeks afterwards. And that was obviously going back to the place it happened. Like I literally lived around the corner. So I kind of knew in my head that it was going to be a tough time, just because it was probably the first time I would have had to go back there. You know, you didn't know if you're going to relive things and how it would deal with you mentally. And I think coming up to that, it started to get me quite nervous. I'd feel just like sick in my stomach and wouldn't know why, and get really like paranoid. And even being there, I stayed there for the whole week. Looking back on it now, I'm kind of like, how did I even do that? But it was probably just maybe a brave thing, but a bit stupid as well, kind of putting yourself really back in that location, because it can trigger you. But I think I just wanted to prove it to myself and also have a kind of moment of like, this was my graduation week. Like I had this plan for so long. I was going to enjoy it. Looking back on it now, like I literally barely slept the night before my graduation, because it was first night back in my house around the corner, and I just got super paranoid, thought someone was there or things like that. And it was super hard kind of mentally there. I think overcoming that week, it was a big milestone. Just after that, I was kind of like, okay, I don't have to live like back in Loughborough ever again. Like that was it. That was done. And proud of myself for doing that. Like it was a tough week. It's kind of been weird impact mentally, because obviously trauma affects people in different ways. And some people, it kind of affects them straight away. They could just like not want to leave their house. And I think at the start, the first couple months, I was just like, no, I want to go back out. Had loads of like doctor's appointments, random things. So I was out and about kind of with people. When I was on my own, it was a bit scary, because the event that happened, it was a random person who walked down the street. So it does affect you mentally, even in the daytime. When I was walking past people, you'd think, are they looking at me funny? Like, is it going to happen again? You just get a bit scared. And I think it's just your kind of survival instinct in you is just trying to like make you safe. Overall now, kind of a year on, I probably do get a lot more anxiety, and I've learned different ways to cope with that. Probably even just the last 6 months, it's had a weird impact, because sometimes you're like, do little milestones and you're okay. And you're kind of like, I'm coping every day. I don't really think about it. And then I think New Year's was a weird time, because obviously it was full on 6 months after half my year, half of 2019, really. And then at New Year's, you look back on your year and you finish uni, you graduated, you got your job, you started that. But at the same time, like just kind of negative event happened in your life that changed a lot of things for you. So I think at the start of this year, I felt a little bit lost, I think. And mentally, it was the most challenging part of the recovery for me, just because I think I didn't really know how I was feeling. You just feel a bit off inside. You can't really describe it. And it's harder to tell people, because you're like, I don't even know what's wrong at this point. Like, I thought I was getting better and I thought I was fine. But obviously, it is a journey and I'm learning that still. I think like counseling has helped. Like, I've never been closed off to it as an option. And I think when it came to like graduation at Loughborough and I started to feel a bit like panicky, getting really like bad anxiety, I knew then I probably should try therapy. So I had a few sessions over the summer, which really helped and kind of cleared your head. You know, you got it off your chest, and it does make it better to kind of speak to someone out of your circle. Even though like I was very open with my best friends and family and stuff, it did make a difference. And then when my mental health started to get a bit bad, kind of at the start of this year, I was quite lucky that I could seek that through work and did counselling for 2 months, which again was the best thing that happened, because then even out of that, I started my Instagram page, which we'll probably talk about later.
I feel like you've become so proactive in your mental health in the sense of seeking help and professional help and through counselling, or even saying you're proud of yourself for certain things. I think you spoke quite a lot about having a positive mindset. So I wanted to ask, how did you manage to do that most of the time. Obviously, we spoke about how there were days where you would dip in and up and down, and it's a journey. But I feel like from what you've said, you've actually been quite positive through it quite a lot of the time.
Yeah, I feel like I've kind of always been like that, quite a positive person. You do have those bad things happen and all of that, but I still try to put a positive spin on it, being like, could be worse. You kind of have to be grateful for where you are. And obviously, it's hard to kind of keep it up that every day. Like, no one could really do that. Like, there will be times where it will feel bad and you're allowed to have that. And as long as you know that, like, you don't beat yourself up over it for feeling like bad some days and keep trying to be like, okay, this is a situation, and try like not to kind of make it worse than it is. And it's hard mindset wise, especially at the start, to kind of be like, not think about why did this happen? Why was it me? All of that kind of thing. But I just tried to cut that all out at the start. I really tried to kind of consciously think, okay, that could make it worse. And I don't want to fall down a spiral into like a really bad way. I still have my life. Like, I was 22 when it happened. Like, literally got my whole life ahead. This is not going to be the thing that ends me. Obviously, like over the summer, we had like travel plans, like had a couple months before I started my job, but it ruined that. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it ruin my life. Someone else wanted to ruin their life, but you're not going to ruin mine. And there has been times where it's just like you go through a couple weeks and they just don't feel great, you know. But I think it's just appreciating things and talking to people, definitely being open. It's not just all about my journey, like with my friends, just talking about my stuff. It's a shared thing, and quite lucky to have friends like that. And we just rely on each other when we need to, which has definitely helped. Because if your kind of group of friends is positive, like it will help you to be positive and see things in that way. And I think all of us kind of having a similar mindset in that sense. And I think from their point of view, probably as well, they didn't want me to kind of be like, oh, such a bad thing and worrying about things. They've always tried to, I guess, take your mind off it, or try to be like, oh no, like we've got things to look forward to, you know, like we can do something, we can meet up. And even through the bad times, like everyone came to my house and we all kind of went around, and we hadn't really done that even at uni, you know, like you just see each other, live with each other. But it was really just kind of a time to appreciate spending time with each other as well.
I really love that, because I think a lot of times when people go through traumatic situations, they do end up having quite a negative victim mindset, like, why did this happen to me? Or blame themselves. So I'm really glad that you didn't do that.
Yeah, for sure. I think like, obviously, I probably had those moments where you can kind of think like that. And I feel like that's normal. You know, you can give that to yourself because it's not like a normal event to happen to you. And I think it probably helped as well for me, probably even when talking about it, like the impact of it all probably doesn't sink into me that it's such like a big thing, you know. It's kind of like once in a lifetime event, because when talking to people you don't really know that much, they're like, oh my god, wow, that's crazy. But for me, I've just never let the impact of it hit, because I don't want to put pressure on myself. So maybe it is a bit of personality as well. I just kind of like to be over things.
For sure. I think a lot has happened. Is there one or a few life lessons that you've learned through this event happening to you?
Oh, probably a lot. Probably perspective on things, you know, like even if bad things happen now, like if you have a bad day at work, it's just about mindset of it all. Just knowing like, okay, it's a bad day. It's fine. You can feel sorry for yourself, like have a bad day. But tomorrow you'll wake up with like a brand new mindset. You've got a whole day. You try change for the next day. You know, it's a fresh start. And then also as well, like it's okay to ask for help. Like I just myself have always been like very kind of reluctant to ask for help. Or if I can do it for myself, I'll do it for myself. Just hate being like, oh, can you help me with something? But it's definitely taught me that, because I had to, like I had to depend on other people, you know. It really forced me to do that. And it's okay to kind of shout for help, you know, when things aren't going great, just to shout it out. Like I know everyone else is dealing with their problems, but your friends and family are going to be there for you, because that's what it's about, you know, relying on each other in those hard times. And maybe just because someone else is going through a hard time, it doesn't mean that you have to bottle it up, you know. You can share your stuff and we can deal with more than one problem at a time. I think as well, during lockdown, you kind of think about what you want in the future and what you want in life and stuff. And obviously growing up, you kind of think, oh, I want to like a big house, you want cars and like, you want to travel and like work abroad and all these things. maybe in final year, you know, like end goal is graduation, finishing exams, and you're so focused on that. You kind of forget to just enjoy the moment, you know, and I still did in final year. Like I enjoyed my whole time. Like I was so happy that it was my favorite one, but definitely this year is taught me, you know, like things can change. People can go, like you don't know what's going to happen in 1 minute of your life. So really just to appreciate it and be grateful for where you are, because a lot of people have it worse.
That's so true. That is honestly so true. And I think sometimes we really do forget that. We're like, we're always constantly focused on the next thing.
You want to better yourself. And I do understand it. And it's good to have those, because like I kind of forgot about it during this whole year, like literally lost who I was as a person because you're so consumed with the recovery. That's another challenge on its own, like trying to work out who you are now, because obviously you have kind of changed with this, but you kind of miss who you were before it, you know?
So let's talk a little bit more about your Instagram page, Transforming Trauma. So let's actually talk about, why did you start your Instagram page?
Yeah, so I literally remember this day. So it was a Monday, 9th of March, 2020. So I guess the trauma happened on the 9th of June. And since then, like, it's weird. It's been a weird coincidence. Like, on the 9th of, like, most months, like, something significant kind of has happened. So 9th of March this year, so that marked 9 months exactly since it all. And I guess it's, like, 9 months is quite a big thing. Like, 6 months was, like, and different things have happened. Like, 3 months, I started back at the gym and recovering on my leg. And, like, 6 months was kind of legal stuff. And now 9 months. I was probably, like, a couple weeks into, like, counselling for the second time. And I don't know, like I just woke up that day and just felt quite like motivated, you know, I had no reason. Like I literally just felt like I wanted to do something and make an impact. I didn't want this just to go away because it's such a big thing on me that I just felt that it would be a shame that it couldn't help other people and just help myself as well. Even just simple things, like just things to avoid, like walking back on your own, because obviously in Loughborough, probably in unis, they do tell you that, but you can forget it. But I feel like if you share your story, I think at that time it was maybe a bit premature. Like I wasn't completely comfortable sharing like everything. And that took time with the page. But the Wednesday 11th, I started it, made my first post. And even on my personal Instagram, when I shared it, I couldn't even write a caption. Like I was so nervous. I've never said it was me. And like, I've never shared this part of it on my personal story, you know, like everyone else kind of thinks like, oh, okay, just getting on with their life, you know, job, all of that, travel. So that was quite a big moment, I think, just being like, okay, I even remember like debating whether I should post it on my personal story, literally like so much anxiety. I was like, I can't breathe. Like, oh my God, like it's out posted, you know. But I think since then, it's kind of just helped me find who I was again. Cause like what I used to do, like I used to love like helping people, volunteering and things. And this is a way that it's put something that was such a big moment in my life and such like an, I guess, a negative event, but it's brought it back to something I've known and I like to do. So it's kind of put a positive spin on it. Since starting, it was kind of more firstly about my experience, I guess, and my journey. Because even if it helped like one person, I was happy. Like I didn't really expect anything out of the page. It was just an outlet for me to, I guess, write things and kind of like a diary in a way. There wasn't really any thought too much or like planning with it or kind of post. It kind of was a bit more natural and just posting about a few things at a time, kind of maybe about my physical stuff or mental journey at the start. And even from friends from school and stuff, a lot of people didn't know it happened. So it was kind of getting a lot of messages like that, which was really nice and kind of nice to hear from people, you know. And I think it was still a shock for a lot of people to be like, oh my God, like you've kept this like hidden or like a secret since June, which wasn't like intentional. It was just, I didn't want to be like straight up on my Instagram story when it happened, like, oh my God, this happened to me, like da da da. Like I'm just not that person. And I just don't really like that. So it's kind of been proud of where it's come from and how comfortable I've now got sharing it. Because when it came to the 9th of June this year, it was like 1 year on and I made a post then and finally felt comfortable to like actually state what happened on my Instagram story. You know, like I said, I was randomly attacked and stabbed multiple times. And like, I would not have ever thought I'd be doing that a year ago, you know, at the start of my journey, but seeing the growth and how much can change in a year is crazy. And like, I'm happy with it. And that, like, I get so many messages from random people saying it's helped them. And I could never have thought that it would do that, you know? So it's all just been positive, and it helps me as well. It's a way for me to kind of get things off my mind, which you never know could help someone else. Even if they're not necessarily going through trauma or have been through trauma, I've posted like anxiety tips or stuff with mental health, just general stuff or motivation, because it affects everyone, really. Like, it wouldn't just affect people just singled out with trauma. So I'm happy with where it's got to and the journey that's taken. And I feel like that has been quite a big part in my journey of recovery, because it's definitely helped me a lot. And it's also allowed me to be more open to talk about it to new people at work as well. It's kind of been fine, because, you know, it's an awkward thing if you're out late or something and you're with people who don't know what's happened. You're a bit like, oh, you don't want it to be like awkward if you get a bit uncomfortable when it's dark or you have to like go back on your own and stuff, you know? So now I feel like it's just kind of out there, it's open, and literally not had like a bad thing about it. It's all just been positive. So happy with it and kind of proud of where it's got to.
I'm really proud of you too. I remember when I first saw your page, I think I was coming back from work. I was on the tube station and I opened Instagram and I saw it, and I was like, because at the time I didn't know it was you. And I was like, oh my God, it was KJ. Crap. And then I remember.
Because that's the thing, a lot of people knew it happened, because it literally the whole town knew and like had probably seen pictures and all of that. But I think, yeah, just the way we handled it, like in my friend group and stuff, and just how it kind of, I guess, naturally was a progression to kind of share it, I was kind of happy with. But obviously it is like, for people who didn't know then, it was a bit like, oh, like, sorry, you guys didn't know, but now you do.
I know that there's loads of different types of traumas, which you actually do talk about on your page. So did you have a very specific type of trauma?
Yeah, so I think it took a bit of research as well, you know, because you want to learn more about what you've been through and if there's other people who've gone through it. And through this platform as well, I've learned a lot more kind of about recovery, healing and trauma. So I follow a lot of similar pages which post things, and there's kind of three main types of trauma. So there's one that's acute trauma, which is probably what I went through, which is kind of a single event that happens in someone's life. You know, it could be like a car accident, abuse, assault, witnessing a violent event. You know, it's just one thing that can then cause that trauma to happen, which is like anxiety, maybe not be able to sleep and things like that. So that is probably where my trauma would fall. That was a one-off event, and then you kind of deal with the impact of it. But there's also chronic trauma and complex trauma, which I guess if you want to kind of put them in big groups. So chronic is probably exposure to multiple traumatic events. You know, this could be like domestic violence or different types of abuse, which kind of are repeated situations. And then there's complex trauma, which is kind of, I guess, varied and multiple traumatic events and experiences. Kind of similar to chronic, but it could be like loads of different types of events and stuff at once. So it's been interesting for me to kind of learn. Like, I love to keep learning about these different types of things. You know, it's so different to, I guess, your work life and uni and everything you've been learning in education. Like, it's just a different thing to kind of learn about, which I've found interesting and I enjoy doing, to be fair.
Do you have any advice for anyone who's listening who might know someone or themselves are going through trauma? What advice would you give them?
It's just to keep a reminder in your head, just that trauma and the recovery from it is just full of ups and downs. You know, it's not just going to go in a straight line. It's not just going to be an upwards progression. Like, that's the worst thing that can happen and it's all great, fine and dandy afterwards. Like, it's not the reality of it, you know? And I think I've always just reminded myself to be realistic with it, but keep a positive spin on that. And don't beat yourself up about kind of, if you feel bad or like if you feel like things aren't going great after maybe a couple months of things going well and getting through milestones and doing well in your recovery. And if something kind of brings you back to square one or triggers you, don't push yourself or like don't feel too bad on yourself, because literally a lot of people have probably gone through trauma or will go through it, and you're not alone in that. It is easy to kind of just get so wrapped up in comparing yourself to other people and being like, oh, like no one else is going through this, but chances are they probably are. And just not to be so focused on like results, because I think I got so focused on just getting better and better that when it didn't, I was like, what do I do now? Like, oh, I've done so badly and all of that. But it's just to kind of keep a balanced mindset, I think, with it, you know, it's a give and take. It's not just going to be completely one way. So yeah, just kind of take it at your pace, really, because everyone is different. I know it's easy to kind of say that, but it's true kind of going through it, you know, like you'll speak to people who probably have similar feelings about things. But at the end of the day, like you're the one who went through your trauma and that is valid. It's something you went through and you have every right to kind of feel how you feel. So don't ever feel like, oh, I should be feeling like this because I'm like 3 months down the line. It doesn't work like that completely. It's going to be down to you as a person, and that's okay.
Yeah, so it's like there's no timeline for this.
Yeah, for sure. Like it could last years. It could be like over. It just really depends, you know, and it's not about other people. It's more just going to be like focus on yourself, you know, and do it for yourself, because otherwise it probably won't end up going great or you won't like end up being happy.
That's amazing. I love your page. I think what you're doing is so inspirational. And to even talk about your story so openly as well, it takes a lot of courage. So I just want to say thank you for sharing your story.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
I really hope you liked that episode and learned something new from it. It's not the typical lighthearted episode that I normally do, but it's definitely an important one. Something that I did want to say that's been on my chest, and I'm not sure about you girls listening, but I feel like the last week, a lot of people have been sharing posts about women's safety have been women, but barely any men. We need men to be an ally in this, because a lot of the times the onus has been on women to protect themselves from men, when actually it should be educating men on how not to be a threat. There are things that guys can do. And I know that there's not many guys listening to this, but if you're one of the three guys that listen to this podcast, then this is for you. Please stand up for women when you hear your male mate say something derogatory about them. To leave a gap between you and another female if he happened to be walking on the same street as them at night. Believe them and don't victim shame any females in your life if they tell you about an experience regarding their safety. And finally, please be an active ally in helping us. Nobody, whether male or female, should be scared to walk home, but especially females, we shouldn't be scared to walk home. I just want to leave it at that. And if you want to share your experience and thoughts on this episode, like always, my DMs are always open. Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok are pretty personal. And don't forget to subscribe and follow this podcast, because I do release episodes every single Tuesday. I'll speak to you guys next week. Take care. Bye.